I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. I know you're an awfully busy man, and it's just great that you take the time to be with us. Thank you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on with you, Kay. You do such a great job, and got great fond memories of what you accomplished in the NFL, and got great respect, and it's my pleasure to be on with you.
Well, John, listen, I'm going to jump into quite a few. It's amazing. Your record and your years in the game is quite impressive. It really is. It's boy, you jumped from coast to coast quite a bit, though, didn't you? Lord, West Coast, going to school out there, and then coaching all over the country. Seems like you jumped you from coast to coast, even including for a while the you coached with John Hadle out there, didn't you? But
LA Express. Yep.
LA Express,
our quarterback there was this very little known guy named Steve Young. But no, that was, I will say this, that's a tribute to Robin Fox, my wife, who, we were doing our, accounting of our moves in the, NFL cycle. And it was 16 moves. Okay. That, we kind of traversed across the country a couple times, actually.
Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, you also had Sid Gilman on that staff too at one time. Listen, I want to jump into a couple of things, nothing that is too personal, but I want to get to your time at Denver there, and you had who I consider to be one of the greats of all times, and Peyton Manning. Now, he was at the end of his career, but talk a little bit about how that came about, John, and then your observations of Manning during those last years into the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, as I look back, Kay, and I look at the Tom Brady saga of leaving, you know, his longtime team up in New England to go to Tampa, and there was really great similarity, except Tom wasn't coming off an injury. Peyton was. And Peyton's injury was, you know, pretty significant. It was a neck injury that caused some nerve damage, and, you know, reason the Indianapolis Colts freed him up was, you know, they ended up taking Andrew Luck, and, you know, we had the opportunity to visit him in Denver, and he had lots of options, but I think ultimately he felt good about the fit. You know, I think a lot of times, much like Tom Brady is, and people don't realize this, is they look at what's going on with their new team's defense, and, you know, I think that was one of the things that I think, you know, Peyton felt secure about was what kind of defense we were going to be in Denver, as well as I think Tom felt, you know, with Todd Bowles in Tampa, you know, what that defense would look like. Because I think when you get a great player, you know, like Peyton Manning or like a Tom Brady, you know, they pretty much feel confident that they'll handle the offense. And, you know, I think just like much Bruce Arians, you know, I think Peyton felt comfortable with an established head coach in the league. And, you know, it was kind of remarkable to me. I don't know if it was the fanfare with Tom because of COVID, you know, he wasn't traveling the globe to look at teams and all that kind of stuff. It was more behind the scenes. But, you know, I think there's a certain comfort level, especially a guy with, you know, that kind of success, you know, 14 years in Indianapolis. And, you know, it's obviously a little bit uncomfortable to pick a new team after all those years. But let me tell you something. He was as advertised. He came back and really worked hard in his rehab. And, you know, he raised all the boats there in Denver. You know, I think any player that played with him. And, you know, we did have some great players alongside of Peyton. But I think, you know, it was really great to be able to see them, you know, him hoist his second Lombardi trophy with his second team. And, it was, I mean, I can't say enough great things about him, you know, him being inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, you know, first ballot. There's no guy that could be more deserving.
I couldn't agree with you more, John. It's, gosh, those battles between Brady and Manning were epic, and we certainly miss him. He went to two Super Bowls. What would you consider, Johnny? It's interesting. You went with quarterbacks who were probably at the end of their careers, both, and came from other teams. Delahome from New Orleans to Carolina, and of course Manning from Indianapolis to Denver. What would you consider to be your best and most complete football team during all those years?
Well, you know, it's hard to compare. You know, I know that's kind of a standard answer, but it's so true. It's like I get asked a lot, who's the greatest player you ever coached? And it's really hard to put into terms, you know, because I've been blessed. I mean, the reason I got to be a head coach for 16 years in the National Football League, first and foremost, was because, you know, the blessing of all the great players I got to coach. And, you know, regardless of what people think, I mean, this is a player's game, and it's won by players. And, you know, the more you can accumulate in your evaluation process, whether it's through the draft or in free agency, is the accumulation of great human talent. And, you know, I always stress whether it was our pro departments or our college departments, the evaluation process is, you know, finding out what guys' why is. And what I mean by that is why they play the game. If it's to get rich and all of a sudden they get their money, then where's the motivation? But if when you truly have people that aspire to greatness, you know, then you've got a much better chance. You know, not just the quarterback position, but that could go with any position on your football team. And, you know, that was always what, you know, I tried to see. You know, Jake Delhomme was a backup quarterback in New Orleans, and, you know, I just saw the little bit he got in, and the moments he got in were big moments, and he always answered the bell. And so it was a little bit of a flyer, but not in the sense of we knew the guy and we knew his why, and he accomplished great things, you know, with the Carolina Panthers.
You bet. Well, the only reason I ask you that question, and I know it's a tough question, but I don't like to be asked that, or like you said, a player who's the best player you ever coached. That's almost impossible to answer. But
I agree.
Sometimes it just almost fits together like it fell out of the sky on you. You know, the defense maybe comes around where you thought you might have a hole or two. You get better play from a couple of other people that make up the difference. Offensively, one or two play a little better than expected, and they mesh, and all of a sudden you got a pretty good football team.
And, yeah, there's no doubt.
Ironically,
you know, even my tenure in Denver, you know, the offense, because Peyton breaking the touchdown record, 55 touchdowns, you know, in a season, it still holds true. But, you know, I think people got to remember how good that defense was. And, you know, that's, you know, football is the ultimate team games. And, you know, it's not just all about the quarterback, although it be an important position, no doubt. But you better have a good football team. And like I said, Kay, I was, you know, blessed being around a lot of great players, you know, on really all three phases, you know, even the kicking game. You know, what John Casey was able to accomplish, and, you know, the great kickers and punters, you know, that kicking game, you know, can be very, very important as well.
Well, there's no doubt about that at all. If you take a look at what's and just going back to what you said about Manning and how he operated there with you at Denver. And I think almost anyone could see what happened to Tampa this year. I think it's amazing. Brady, without an offseason, which was critical in that situation, but those first eight ball games, maybe 8-9, whatever it was, 10, they really were not – a Brady-type offense. And then they had the – this is the way I see it. It may be wrong. They had that open date, and they came back and won 8 straight right on through the Super Bowl. But if you noticed, after that open date, their offense went to more of a Brady-controlled type offense. I got the distinct feeling that he was doing most of it from the line of scrimmage, automatizing and getting in and out of certain things, you know, seeing matchups and getting people matched up. But which, by the way, I think this latest move they made got him something he really, really wants and needs, and that is a back that he can get matchups with, like he used to get with James White up at New England. He can recognize those things and beat you to death with those inside matchups. So I think that was big. But I really feel like that season changed drastically for Tampa. And it's amazing. It's like having your one of your coaches, your offensive coordinator, out there on the field playing quarterback for you.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Kay, is what makes the season that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have even more remarkable was the fact of dealing with COVID. You know, I go back to even 2012, our first year with Peyton as a starter, even without COVID, was a full offseason, OTAs, obviously a full training camp. Even at that point, we started the season 1-3. And then never lost a game and finished 13-3 the rest of the season. So there's no doubt that the strengths of great quarterbacks are getting into the right plays. Is the whole audible system and really, you know, giving them answers to get to the right play. And with Tom, for instance, in New England. Bill, one of the greatest coaches obviously to ever live, and in particular on defense, he understands what's hard on a defense and, running the ball, establishing a run game, and then play action off of that, makes the defense think. And, you're not just getting into a drop back pass game where you're throwing the ball 50 times a game, where everybody in the stadium knows what's happening next and that it's a pass. You gotta put doubt in those defensive players' minds, and when you make the run game and the pass game look alike, that's the best way you can slow a defense down. So, they perfected that as it went, and part of being a good coach or a great coach is, and I'll say this about Bruce, is putting your players in the best position that they can succeed. And I think they saw that after midseason at the bye week and. Really kind of started adapting their offense more to what Tom's strengths were versus what their system might have been.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Ask you a question. I've talked to a number of defensive coordinators and defensive coaches, in particular NFL, over the years, and I find that the answer to this question is pretty much universal. Well, I used to up at night after we get through maybe 2:30 in the morning during the season with Tom Catler and talk to him about what is the most difficult thing that you have to do in defending a defensive coach in the National Football League. And I talked to him and other coaches separately. And the answer almost always came back with a little variation, obviously. But Tom put it best. He said, any team that can make me defend 53.5 yards in width and at least 50 yards down the field, 50, 55 yards down the field, makes me have to cover more grass than anybody else. If they can't make those throws, then I can close the field down a little bit on them. I can play shades and play sides and all that and break on the ball a little quicker. But if they can, that's the most difficult thing we have to do if they can truly make us defend the whole width and the depth of the field.
Well, that's the thing, Kay. I couldn't agree more with that. Is that, you know, people talk about balance, and a lot of times fans out there think that's balance between the run and the pass. But the balance, I think, a lot of people refer to is you know, even like the depth of passes, whether it's the, you know, short passing game, the medium passing game, and deep passing game. You know, same thing with the type of runs, whether it's an inside running game, an outside running game, and even now with the advent of some of these mobile quarterbacks, is, you know, even the option run game in the National Football League. So balance doesn't always refer to just the number of runs and the number of passes, but it refers to the types of runs and types of passes that make you defend the whole field. And, you know, moving ahead of that, it's why it's so tough in the red area inside the 20 is because that field gets short and it doesn't get as wide, it seems like. And that's where, you know, those four-point swings happen is in the red area. And a lot of times those situations are the difference in the game.
Yeah, totally agree. That's a great point. Great point. I know you're keeping up to some extent with the upcoming draft. So I'm going to throw one at you here. The big question, and the one that everybody's talking about, is the quarterback situation in San Francisco. My God, spending the draft capital that they did to move up to number three, they got to know, in my opinion, now, I would have never even thought about doing something like that unless I knew exactly who I wanted without any question. I'd have to know what the other two teams were doing up front so I could get them. I have to think that that's the case. Or the only other scenario that even begins to work, and I don't particularly care for that, is you don't care which one of the top three quarterbacks you've got rated. You don't care which one you get. So it doesn't matter what the first two do, you're going to get one of the three. I can't see spending that much capital not knowing who you're going to get. But anyway, go ahead. Who do you like?
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, there has to be a comfort level on who they would end up with for them to do something like that. So I can't speak to which name is going to be on that card when they turn it in, but I know to do this pre-draft like this, that they feel totally comfortable in whichever guy that would be. And for that much draft capital, you know, the importance of the quarterback position, it has to be one of those quarterbacks. So to me, there's no doubt in my mind that they're committed to, you know, whatever one of those three it is. And, you know, they feel that's a need, whether it was, you know, Garoppolo's missing time at the quarterback position. I don't know that they're down on him as a player, but I used to preach to my team, the best ability is availability. So you can be a great player, but if you're not available to the team, then that's a problem.
You bet it is. You bet for sure it is. But anyway, it's going to be an interesting draft coming up, as they always are. They're getting more and more interest nationwide now. My gosh, they got a lobby now on where the draft is going to be. It's almost like the Super Bowl. and we love it. It's just amazing. But I can't believe, and I may be totally wrong, but I can't believe, knowing what little I know about Shannon, and you know more than I do, I have to believe that their choice is Jones at Alabama because of the ability to comprehend what they want to do in the way of schematics and, you know, preparing game plans and changing game plans, changing routes within patterns, and all the things that go into his belief with offensive football. You got to have somebody who can understand it and understand it very quickly. And, yeah, you know, of course, I think he would be ideal for Belichick. too. Because you're going to be surrounded by a good football team, and they'll be back. They'll be a good football team, and he's going to have excellent help from their coaching week. And anyway, he would. Those are two outstanding landing places for him, and he's a guy that can go in and play right away.
Yeah, there's no doubt that this game is, I used to say 80% mental, and at the quarterback position, to have a guy under pressure that knows what to do, how to do it, and be able to execute it under pressure, those are key. And you go back and look, the two guys we've talked about, Peyton Manning, I mean, he changed the play probably 90% of the time, at the line of scrimmage. And to be able to do that under pressure and communicate that to your teammates and execute it is really great. I think at the end of the day, the mental part of the game, I think Mac's done that, Nick Saban, who, he and Bill are longtime friends, and what they were able to do, I think, says a lot about, what coaches expect of that position, at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just real quick, and I'm going to let you go. I apologize for keeping you so long, John, but very interesting. I wish we had an hour or two to talk. But what if you were, as a coach, what if you were given this option? You just won the national championship, okay? College national championship. And they come to you and they say, John, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your quarterback. He just set all-time records in both college and certainly this university. We're going to take him away, and we're going to take your two receivers. They're both going to go start in the National Football League, so you're going to lose them. We're going to take your running back, and he's going to go start in the National Football League. And while we're at it, we're going to take two of your offensive linemen and also your offensive coordinator who put all that together for you, called the games. We're going to take them, and you put everything else together and carry on and go win another one. Tough job.
Well, I know you're talking about Nick. And one thing I will say about Nick and what he's been able to do, in particular at college football level, and maybe the highest there is in the college football level, is he knows how to reload. And much like the NFL, how you draft and getting those players, is Nick's figured out how to recruit pretty well. I'm sure he's worried about it, but I'm sure they got a lot of talent behind all those guys.
Yeah, you bet. John, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Always look forward to chatting with you when you have a chance, and I do appreciate you taking the time to come on with us.
Look, okay, it's my pleasure, and you stay healthy, and all the best to you, and it's always a pleasure being on with you.